Father Larry, your book, Artificial Humanity, an essay on the philosophy of artificial intelligence, brings up several very good and interesting points, and also points of importance. So let's try to unravel some of the issues that sort of go around this issue of artificial intelligence and, you are saying now, artificial humanity. There is a fascination. It's in fiction, half machine, half human. And also because of the dangers that could come from this half machine, half half human notion, lawyers in Malta have been pushing forward the need that the human person is at the center of the process of artificial intelligence. And I think it's a point that you also make in your book, that technology has got to be human-centered. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as we keep human beings in the center of our use of technology, things will work out for the best. I am confident that that is what we're going to see in the coming years, simply because human nature is that way. Perhaps some years ago, we were enthralled with new technology. It was brand new. Everybody was signing up for Facebook. Now, as millennials come into the workplace, we see people that have been born with the technology. They've grown up with the technology. And personally, I think they use it in a better way. They use it to enhance their skills. They use it to promote their goals. They use it in order to do what they want to do in a better way. Yes, you heard it said that instead of being a slave to the technology, we should be the owners. We should be the leaders of the technology and not slaves to it.
Okay, but in one of the books by McLuhan, he quotes a story about this Chinese sage who says, "He who uses a machine grows a heart like a machine." Mm. So, do you think that in a certain sense we will be resembling our technology, and perhaps we lose some of our humanity?
Maybe. It's difficult to say exactly what's going to happen in the future. I'm hopeful that as technology becomes more an intimate part of us, we won't just have the cell phone, but we'll have the technology on our clothes, we'll have technology inside of us. Elon Musk is already developing a prototype of a computer brain interface. As that happens, we will shape the technology and it won't shape us. But there is a real risk that we will allow the machines to overtake us. The machines will be in the forefront. The machines will be doing all kinds of things for us. I hope that the combination of machines and human beings helps the human aspect.
But there is an aspect which perhaps would undermine your optimism. Market forces. Today, technology is owned, is controlled by very large companies whose main concern is making profit, not making better human beings.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The market forces are blind, and they tend to be, shall we say, separate from specifically human goals, and that is scary. So if left to the marketplace, large companies will lead the technology growth in a way that makes more money for them. Hopefully. I know several people in Google. You know them also. We know that Mark Zuckerberg went to see the Holy Father, also Tim Cook, the leader of Apple. So these people are not evil. And perhaps their good nature will come through and their good sense that we cannot just leave the growth of technology up to the market forces, but rather guide it through logic, through ethics, and also through government regulation.
Yeah, I don't think that these people are evil, but perhaps one can come up with the hypothesis that the market is even stronger than Zuckerberg and the other people. So you are suggesting government regulation of the internet, correct?
Well, not of the internet, but of artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. So
the United Nations are already trying to move in that direction. For example, there is a ban on killer robots, which is being proposed at the United Nations. There are several countries that are behind that initiative. I don't think that the government can control the internet, but I think that important projects for artificial intelligence can be regulated to some extent. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's being said that in a few years' time, perhaps a good portion of the workforce, some even say 40%, will be done by robots, which is, for some, all well and good. But cannot this bring up this scenario that I'll describe to you, that these robots will be doing low-level jobs, and humans will have to do higher-end jobs? But people, poor people, or people who do not have the intellectual capability, or people who are disadvantaged because of the environment they live on, what will happen to them? So will technology increase the gap between the rich and the poor, between the have or the have-nots? Isn't that a danger? And if it's a danger, what can we do about it?
It is a danger. Let me make a distinction in terms of the workplace, which comes from the McKinsey Global Initiative. Artificial intelligence and robots are going to replace tasks that humans do, but not necessarily replace jobs. This is an important distinction because it's easy to extrapolate current trends and say within the next 20 years, 40% of people in the workplace are going to lose their jobs. I disagree with that. I know the studies. There's one from Oxford, which everybody quotes. Another one's from MIT. They're very serious people. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to use machines and AI in order to alleviate some tasks that we do, but not necessarily lose our jobs. Is there going to be a wider distinction between the rich and the poor? Yes. Technology originally was supposed to be a universal benefit for everyone, but you're absolutely right. We see that technology is actually going to make some people very wealthy and not give to others. We can try and regulate that. We can try and help those that may be displaced, like you say, those who aren't intellectually gifted, those who do very menial or repetitive tasks. And that is actually happening as we speak. That is going on. I think that people, those who actually do end up losing their jobs, will be able to be retrained. If they're old, if they're in their 50s and their 60s, it's going to be more difficult. But I think that governments, our countries are already preparing for that. I spoke with the head of human resources at the Italian telephone company, TIM, and they have 45,000 employees. She's saying that they are already retraining most of their employees because of the digital revolution. If you look at the airport in Rome, Fiumicino, for example, many people check in online the day before their flight. So you have rows and rows of counters that are now useless. At the airport, people just go right to security. The people that used to work at the check-in counters have all been re-employed. I spoke with the director of the airport several months ago. So even though we have this digital revolution, even though we can now check in online for our flights, that doesn't necessarily mean that the people that used to do that are losing their jobs. They're just being relocated at the airport.
But let me make a personal comment, because You said that it will be more difficult to people over 60. Now, I am in my late 60s, so does it mean that I am going to have a more difficult future because of AI?
Well, you've actually have accompanied this revolution, and you have altered your skill sets, and you're actually right in the forefront of this whole thing. So no, I don't think you're going to lose your job.
Okay, so one of the arguments is, would a complex AI system only choose among options, or can an advanced AI system also be able to make decisions, have its own will? Is this possible?
I don't think so. Excellent distinction. From a philosophical point of view, a sufficiently complex AI system is not able to decide to make a decision because that requires a will, a capacity of willfulness. It can, however, choose. It can select different options. I'm sure that some engineers or neuroscientists would disagree with that, but I think that it's important to remember the difference between what an AI is doing and what a human mind is doing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. You're not just a professor of philosophy, you're also a Catholic priest. What role do you see for the Catholic Church in this kind of revolution so that we would not have an artificial humanity while we have artificial intelligence?
Hopefully we can follow the lead of Pope Francis on this. Pope Francis is insisting over and over again, like you said at the beginning, keep human beings at the center of technology. Help humans to thrive and to be even more human because of the use of technology and not a slave to it and not denigrate what a human being is in terms of a machine, in terms of AI. The Catholic Church, as you know, is a very large group and very heterogeneous. And so it's difficult to assume that the Catholic Church is going to do one monolithic thing. I think the Catholic Church is so diverse, and it's in every corner of the world. But we do have the leadership of someone like Pope Francis and whoever will come after him, so that we can maintain the human centeredness. We can keep that dignity of the human person in sight, always in the center, and judge everything else around that. Everything else around that. I agree, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Father Larry.
Thank you, Father Joe. It's been my honor to speak with you.